Would you join me in our responsive call to worship, which is from the first epistle of Peter? Christ Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness.
Blessed is the name of the Lord.
Please turn in your hymn books to number 201 for a litany of compassion. Christ Jesus in agony in the Garden of Olives, troubled by sadness and fear, comforted by an angel. Christ Jesus betrayed by Judas Kiss, abandoned by your apostles, delivered into the hands of sinners.
Lord, have mercy on me.
Christ Jesus accused by false witnesses, condemned to die on the cross, struck by servants, covered with spittle.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ Jesus disowned by Peter, your apostle, delivered to Pilate and Herod, counted among the likes of Barabbas.
O Lord, have mercy on me.
Christ Jesus carrying your cross to Calvary, consoled by the daughters of Jerusalem, helped by Simon of Cyrene.
O Lord, have mercy on me.
Christ Jesus stripped of your clothes, given vinegar to drink, crucified with thieves.
O Lord, have mercy on me.
Christ Jesus insulted on the cross, praying for your executioners, pardoning the good thief.
O Lord, have mercy on me.
Christ Jesus entrusting your mother to your beloved disciple, giving up your spirit into the hands of your Father, dying for all of us sinners.
O Lord, have mercy on me.
By your sufferings, Lord, heal the wounds in our hearts. Let your tears be the source of joy for us, and let your death give us life.
O Lord, have mercy on me.
If you are able, I invite you to join and stand in singing our first hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This?
To God. Reading from the book of Psalms, chapter 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet thou art holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In thee our fathers trusted, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. To thee they cried, and they were saved. In thee they trusted, and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, and no man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He committed his cause to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet thou art he who took me from the womb. Thou didst keep me safe upon my mother's breasts. Upon thee I cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, thou hast been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou dost lay me in the dust of death. Yea, dogs are around me. A company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my raiment they cast lots. But thou, O Lord, be not far off. Thou, my help, hasten to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, my afflicted soul from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you sons of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you sons of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the afflicted or of the affliction. He has not hid his face from him, but has heard when he had cried out to him. From thee comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord forever. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Yea, to him shall all the proud of the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust. He cannot keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. Men shall tell of the Lord to the coming generation and proclaim his deliverance to the people yet unborn, that he has wrought it.
The Gospel Lesson. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden. which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you, I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest of that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the women who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" Peter said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus replied, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas went, sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" Again, Simon Peter denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have hauled him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and judge him according to your law." But they replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death that he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to mine enemies. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus replied, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priest and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." But they answered, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now, when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered the headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself apart from the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is Golgotha. And there they crucified him with two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, "In order to fulfill the scripture, I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath day was a great day of solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you may also believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: "None of his bones shall be broken." And again, another passage of scripture says, "They will look on one another whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus at night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in spices in linen cloth according to the burial custom of the Jews. And now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. In the story of the last day of Jesus, we see the cruelty of humanity, man's inhumanity to one another. We see how leaders can succumb to the will of the crowd. We've seen how people can play one another off of each other, and how they can wrap themselves in the cloak of nationalism when it suits their purposes. We see brutality like few, if any of us, can imagine. But in the midst of this, we also see elements of compassion. We see Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple of Jesus, coming to claim the body, to place the body in a family tomb, one that had never been used, to claim him as one of his own. And we see Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night, wondering who he was, accompanying Joseph of Arimathea. Two undercover hidden disciples stepping forward when those who walked with him longest and knew him the best had all abandoned him for fear of their own lives. Earlier today, I wore my black pulpit robe, but I put a white stole around my neck as we inurned the ashes of one of the saints of this congregation. And as we lowered his ashes into our columbarium, I could not help but to think that in a little over 2 hours, we would be commemorating Good Friday in a worship service. And as we stood by the grave, one of the prayers that was offered was a prayer of thanksgiving for the death, but for by the death of Jesus and by his being laid in the tomb, he sanctified the graves of all the saints. The story does not end. Jesus' story does not end in the darkness of a tomb. The story does not end because darkness can never win the final battle. Death is never the end. It is the penultimate. It is not the ultimate. Death cannot have the last word. On this Good Friday, we commemorate the death of Jesus, and we wonder what is so good about this particular day. What is so good about this day is that we are reminded of an eternal truth. And what is so good about this day is that it draws us to that morning when the women in a different gospel go to the tomb of Jesus, wanting to anoint his body, only to find the stone rolled away. On this Good Friday, let us reflect upon the cruelty of this world and our own acts of compassion that break the bonds of cruelty. Let us remember those saints who have completed their journeys and have gone before us. And let us look forward to that day of promise. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. You may remain seated, but would you join me in singing our second hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, number 197.
Cross of Jesus, mine eyes.
Would you join me in this solemn prayer of intercession? Beloved people of God, as Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross to offer life and salvation to all, let us pray for the world that God loves so much. Let us pray for the church throughout the world. Almighty and eternal God, you have shown your mercy to all nations in Jesus Christ. By your Holy Spirit, guide the church and gather it throughout the world. Help it to preserve in faith, proclaim your name, and bring the good news of salvation in Christ to all people. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray for the United Church of Christ and the Presbyterian Church, USA, and all of those congregations that are in communion with us. Almighty and eternal God, your Holy Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold all pastors and leaders. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church. Help each one of us to do faithfully the work to which you have called us. On this weekend, people around the world are preparing for their own baptisms. Let us pray for those individuals. Almighty and eternal God, you continue to bless the church with new members. Increase the faith and understanding of those preparing for baptism. Give them new birth as your children. Keep them in the faith and the communion of your holy church. Make all the baptized one in the fullness of faith, and keep us united in the fellowship of love. Let us pray for people of other faiths. Almighty and eternal God, gather into your embrace all those who call out to you under different names. Bring an end to interreligious strife and make us more faithful in our witness to the love made known to us in your Son. Let us pray for those who have been so wounded by life that they cannot believe. Almighty and eternal God, you created humanity so that all might long to know you and find peace in you. Grant that all may recognize signs of your love and grace in the world and in the lives of Christians, and gladly acknowledge you as the one true God. Let us pray for God's creation. Almighty and eternal God, you are the creator of a magnificent universe. Hold this world in the arms of your care and heal the damage that we have done, and bring all things to fulfillment in you. Let us pray for the leaders and the people of all nations. Almighty and eternal God, you are the champion of the poor and of the oppressed. In your goodness, give wisdom to those in authority so that people everywhere may enjoy justice, peace, and freedom and share in the goodness of your creation. Let us pray for all who suffer or who are in need. Almighty and eternal God, you give strength to the weary, encourage to those who have lost heart. Hear the prayers of all who call on you in any trouble, that they may have the joy of receiving your help in their time of need. As our Savior has taught us to pray, we are so bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Into this world and return no one evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but learn how to love and forgive one another as freely as God in Christ has loved and forgiven each and every one of us. And may the love of God that will never let you go, the peace of Christ that passes all human understanding, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that knits us together as the body of Christ here on earth, may these three things dwell in your hearts so that you may produce the fruit of God's kingdom every day of your life. Amen.